Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Today, I of course was going to go down the path of Acts 2 and the Holy Spirit coming in. And then the Holy Spirit interrupted me and he said, I want you to talk about regret, about regret. Have you ever done something stupid? Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand right now, you're doing stupid stuff again. Anybody ever done something really stupid? You're like, man, I regret that. I regret it. There's a difference between healthy regret and bad regret. Like sometimes you can spend more money than you have on things you don't need to impress people you don't like, and you regret that. You go, I ain't doing that again. You go to a club, meet a man, have four kids, and realize, I ain't doing that again. Come on, help me right now. I know you've been to the club because, you know, you didn't know what a friend we have in Jesus, but you're like, some people want it all. And everybody still wants a diamond ring. So there's healthy regret, and then there's this sabotaging regret that makes you feel bad, not about what you did, but makes you feel bad about you as a person. Wow. I made this slide. If you want, you take a picture of it because it's good. His statement is, regret is when you feel bad about what you did. Shame is when you feel bad about who you are. And I was thinking about, by the way, young people don't know anything about this, but back in the day, we didn't have Netflix. We didn't have Hulu. Who am I talking to right now? If you were going to watch Friends, your butt better be in the chair Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Come on, who's with me on this right now? And there was different shows, and there was one show there, and there was this really funny little guy. His name was Urkel, and Urkel would always say, did I do that? Did I do that? Come on, let's practice it if you've watched the show. Did I do that? By the way, interesting, I did my due diligence on Urkel, and Urkel was only written in one episode in the beginning, but it was so good, and they wrote him in, and they started writing him into all episodes, and he ends up being the star. And I think that's for somebody today, that some people will only write you out, and God will pencil you in for every single episode, and you can, who am I talking to today? You can be the star. And so I got a little video clip for the young people that don't know what Urkel looks like, so you understand. There's Urkel. Here he is. Come on.
Just stick to chess.
Yeah, it's more your game.
No, I've been practicing. Watch this. Did I do that?
Did I do that? Let's say it one more time. Why?
Did I do that?
Did I really send that email and reply to all? Oh, I'm gonna hit you here in a minute. Did I really send that text when I was infuriated and mad? Did I do that? Yeah, actually, the clip there was kind of funny that the team sent me. I said, find the clip. And it was all of a sudden he's spinning it and it goes into the milk. And you can't cry over spilt milk, right? But at the same time, you've got to look at it and say, did I do that? And sometimes regret can really take on a real negative vein in your life when you say that I am the reason that the marriage went away. I'm the reason that the business failed. And so what you got to do is chalk that stuff up to education and realize that the Bible said, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So what didn't kill you just made you stronger. And even if you look at it and say, did I do that? You go, yeah, I did that, but I was in the flesh, and now I have learned, and I'm moving through the power of the Holy Spirit to make better decisions that actually get rid of what the devil's trying to do to me. God's gonna restore it, use it for my good. So that chasm or that space where you feel regret that's healthy and negative regret is very, very dangerous. In fact, I saw a guy, a tattoo, they sent it to me. I think we'll put it on the screen here, right here. It says, how do y'all know he gotta be regretting that? You're gonna get a tattoo, get somebody that uses spell check, right? No regrets, right? So in your life, in my life, we can look at the poster boy for regrets. And if I had a title my sermon today, I would call it the Esau syndrome. And I got it from this passage in Hebrews 12. It says, work at getting along with each other. We could stop right there, and that could be our word and go home. I could come up and say, work on getting along with each other. Good day. And with God. Otherwise, you want to get so much as a glimpse of God and make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Watch this, class. And keep a sharp eye out for the weeds of bitter discontentment. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin the whole garden in time. Watch out, read it with me, for the Esau principle. Come on, Sunset, every campus. Watch out for the Esau syndrome. Trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. We all know that later Esau regretted this impulsive act and wanted God's blessing, but then it was too late. Tears are no tears. Esau syndrome. Have you ever went home and you were super, super hungry? You were out of your mind hungry? Raise your hand if you lost. Have you ever opened up the pantry and all of a sudden you had eaten a whole bag of Doritos before you knew it? I'm going to try it over here. Anybody in St. Louis going to help me? Or City, all the way back by the bathrooms. How many of y'all ever went and after you were done, you're like, did I do that? You were on a diet. You were calculating your stuff. But you were hangry and you were out of your mind. And this is what happened to Esau. Now, first of all, I want to explain to you what's going on here. We're picking this up in Hebrews, but the original story is told in Genesis 25. You really screwed up when they're bringing your stuff up all the way over in the New Testament. Come on, raise your hand. In fact, sometimes you read the Bible, it reads like a little bit like TMZ. David did what? With who? And why? Here's the great news about today's sermon is this, is that no matter what you did, Jesus can help you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and it won't get rid of all the damage, but it won't make you wholly and solely responsible anymore. You can say, hey, I'm the artist formerly known as whatever it is you are. And Esau and Jacob, the mother is Rachel. Rachel couldn't have any kids, and she prayed, God, give me a child. And you got to be careful what you pray for because God gave her two. In fact, it says they were wrestling. It's bad enough to have a baby kicking on the inside of you, but you got two of them in there and they're fighting in there. How many of y'all know that's a problem? And when she gives birth to the children, the first one that comes out, his name is Esau. The second one is trying to get ahead because back in the day, they would always bring the greater blessing to the firstborn child. Now, I'm a firstborn child, so I believe they ought to bring that back. Can I get an amen? I'm only talking to the firstborn right now. If you're a middle child, and if you're a baby, you already got by with all your stupid stuff. You got to do everything we didn't get to do. Raise your hand. Yeah, you couldn't have a dog, but they got a dog. You had to be home at 9:30. They came home at midnight and kind of said, well, I do what I want to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you already got yours. Give me mine. Okay. I got all aggravated. I'm sorry. I'm back. So now Jacob, his name came from, when they looked at him and named him, they named him Jacob because it means deceiver. And the other one that we're talking about, Esau, he came out and it said he was red and hairy. So they named him Esau, which means red and hairy. So she's got a deceiver and hairy. Come on, let's all go here. It sounds like a Jim Carrey movie, right? Deceiver and hairy, okay? So deceiver and Harry were named, catch this right now, they were named by what the parents saw. You got to be careful what you call your kids. You got to be careful what you speak into things because later they end up playing out and becoming that which the dysfunctional parents, oh, I'm preaching right now, named them. I'll tell you, God named you and he named you Christian now. You're blessed. You're favored. You're anointed. You're not bound any longer. You're no longer a slave to sin. I wish I had somebody at Sunset. Don't just watch this today of Weldon. I like that organ there. Yeah. All right. So now when they get out and they start doing life, there's a lot of tension between the two boys. Because if you got, how many of y'all got more than one kid? Raise your hand if you got more than one kid. How many of y'all got two kids? I won't even, the other ones don't even count. Let's just talk about two. If you lived long enough to have two kids, one kid's totally different from the other kid. In fact, you don't want to tell anybody, but there's one that you like more than the other one. And that's the little one. Don't act like, oh, no, I don't. Just smile right now. Look at your kids. Say, oh, not me. I love you both equally. You're going to love the one that hangs out with you. The one that's most like you, you usually don't like. because you don't really like you, so you really don't like him. Oh, yeah, and the kid we don't like, we say, you're just like your daddy. Come on, anybody ever heard something? You are just like your mama. I do this all the time where I go, this is my daughter. She can sing. Her room's crazy. I go, Nicole, your kid is out of control. See what I'm saying? And so you got two nations battling flesh. They named him fleshy. He was red, meaning meat. He's real fleshy. The Bible goes on to tell that Esau didn't really have a heart towards God. Jacob had a little bit of bend towards God because there are two different dudes. Like, if you picture in your head, Esau looks straight out of Duck Dynasty. Hairy everywhere, duck calling, hunting. And Jacob was at home watching the Food Network with Mama. So Mama was always trying to get Jacob to be in the position of power. She loved them both, but this one is hairy and sweaty and nasty, and he was doing his thing. And then one day, he came home hungry. And when he came home hungry, and we talked about this earlier with you and the Doritos, or Cheetos, or Fritos, Oreos, everything that comes with O's is a problem. Some of you are like, hurry up, I gotta get out of here and go to that. Some of you right now are on Amazon ordering stuff in your cart, get it home. Don't do that, focus with me right now. Give me 10 more minutes. He comes home and he's hungry. And he smells, you gotta be careful with these five physical senses. What you can see, what you can taste, what you can touch. She smells good. He smells like Creed. My other guy smelled like Old Spice. Oh, come on. Go with me on this right now. See, so they named him Fleshy. They named him Harry Fleshy. That's what his name means. So he's acting out and becoming what he's called. The one that is the trickster, he's at home learning tricks from Mom. And as soon as he walks in and he's hungry, he makes a lifelong decision that affects his entire life and his legacy. If you're a student of the Bible at all, you know, everybody says, the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are on my life. Well, that wasn't supposed to be there. It was supposed to be the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But Esau gave up for temporary gratification what should have been long-term satisfaction. And I want to tell you, he did that because I'm preaching today. I said I'm preaching today to somebody. He did that because he did not value the anointing that was on his life. What is it that you're doing that you're not valuing? The fact you got a great family? The fact you live in the United States of America? What is what you don't value you will seem to discard? You got to get up and say, oh, I value you, Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will assemble in your house. I'm not going for what I can see, what I can taste, what I can smell. I'm going to do what's right because it's right. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him right now. 9, 8, 7, 6, come on, 5, 4. Some of y'all get it, 3, 2, 1. All right, okay. So now he goes in and he makes a dumb decision because of what he could feel, what he wanted now. You may get what you want, but you might not want what you get. He disqualifies himself for the future. And his brother said, well, of course you can have some soup, but before you do, swear to me you'll give me your birthright. And because he didn't value it, he said, who cares? It has no value. It's not worth anything. And now he moves in to this incredible spot in his life where he is living with regret. He is the poster boy for regret. He has to rehearse in his mind because once he has done that, the blessing of the father cannot be given to that son. This goes on and on and on and on and on and on in people's lives that they don't value what God has given them. Now, if you're new today to this or watching on television or whatever, and you might be in a spot where you're like, you know, I've done too many dumb things for God to use me. Well, here's what's great about the Bible. Look at the dumb thing he just did. Look at what Moses did. Look at what Noah did. Look at the murderers in the Bible, the liars in the Bible, the cheats in the Bible, the hookers in the Bible. If God can do that with them, guess what? He can use you. Everybody shout, he can use you. Esau's life could have been way different if he would have really mastered controlling his flesh. Now, I'm like you. I got a flesh. You got a flesh. And the more that we don't operate in the Holy Spirit, Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, and he represents today what I would see. If Esau came back today, I believe he would be like the ghost of Christmas past. I believe he would come back and say, don't do that to you. Every time you're going to send an email, don't do that. Send the text, don't do that. Flirt with the girl that's not your wife, don't do that. Got quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, don't do that. And now he forfeits the plan of God for his life. And now we're still talking about, all the way in the New Testament, we're talking about the fact, the Esau syndrome, and God must have saw that it was necessary to tell all of us, knowing. And just think of this. This is back before they had TV. So if God knew way back when that we would need to preach this message, he knew that you would have TikTok. And that there would be images geared to you. Your TikTok looks different than your wife's TikTok. She got cooking, baby names, girdles, weaves, nails. You got boats, sports. And because of that, they go, oh, this sucker's gonna like this. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, a cheerleader. I promise you, St. Louis, there are people here. They're here. And the enemy has targeted you. And then all you got to do is watch one of those, and now it starts feeding your feed all the time. And I'm just here to tell you that it's more dangerous now than it ever was. I have a lot of patience for young people today. I can't believe they did that. They didn't do that when I was that age. You had one TV that was in the living room. And your mom and dad came in all the time. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about right now. Your show was Leave It to Beaver. Your show was I Love Lucy, and they slept in different beds. Now everybody confused about their sexuality, and they don't know who they are. That's because we got to bring them to church. They hear the word of God, and then they don't go for immediate gratification. Come on, in every room of our house today, every church room, somebody's in there teaching those kids and training those kids. This is the way you should go. Now, I ask you, if you got two kids, you raise your hand. You act like you don't love one more than the other. But I will tell you, if you love even the one you don't love as much as you love the other one, but you still got strong feelings for that joker, bring them here every week. And even when you're not right, act like you're right and bring them to church. So your kids will have a drug problem. I did when I was growing up. I had a drug problem. My dad drug me to church on Sunday morning. He drug me to church on Sunday night. And he drug my backside, come on somebody, on Tuesday night. And think how jacked up I am with all that church. Come on, go ahead, give it to me. I know you want to do it. Just laugh. Like, oh, yeah, I know. My God, thank God. Whew. You would have been Hugh Hefner or whoever you're thinking is a horrible person. The enemy is after your kids. The enemy, the devil, is after your grandkids. So you got to draw a line in the sand and go, hey, right here, this is what we're not going to do, devil. We're not going to cross that line. And then we're going to tell the people in our house, we're not perfect. We're just forgiven. But some lines we won't cross. We're going to jump over on the, we're not going to straddle it any longer. We're not going to be in the flesh any longer. We're going to jump over on the Jesus train. We're going to go to church. Come on, somebody. We're going to get involved in church, and our legacy is going to be different. You are not what you did. I'm going to say that again. You are not what you did. I know you regret what you did, but we got to get up and move past that. You are not what you did. You're who God said you are. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. And by the way, if somebody did you wrong and they cheated on you, quit bringing it up or divorce them, but quit bringing it up every 6 weeks. Come on, somebody ought to help me with it. When you do something stupid, stop talking about it. Anybody ever done something stupid? I want to go tighter because I got some fresh Botox today. My, it ain't even moving up there right now. Nicole, she looked at me and said, you need some Botox. I was like, just give me my man card. At least call it Brotox. Come on, Brotox. Now let's go over Genesis 25 real quick and see where the original account happened. It says Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because they were childless. And the Lord answered the prayer of Rebekah and she became pregnant. The babies jostled on the inside of her and she said, "What is happening to me?" That's what happens when you get pregnant. What is happening to me? All the women say amen to that. Amen. The men have very little change in their life unless they eat with you. Verse 23, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb and two people are within you, will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older," check this out prophetically, "will serve the younger. When the time came for her to give birth, the twin boys that were in her womb, the first to come out was red, and his whole body was a hairy garment." He's one hairy dude. "So they named him what they saw, Esau," which means red and hairy, fleshy. "After the other brother came out, his hand was grasping Esau's heel, and they named him Jacob," which means deceiver, tricker. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter in the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. And Isaac had a taste for wild game and loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So we have, I love my boy. I love them both, but I love this one. And this was staying home with mama. And I was thinking about Esau being a hunter. I don't know a lot about hunting. I didn't start hunting until not too long ago. I did it for the activity of being with some friends because I just can't, I do not have the patience to sit out in the woods, spray deer pee all over my body. Come on, go with me on this right now. Camouflage myself up, get up before the sun comes up, go out in a tree stand and wait. Just ain't got that kind of patience. Not when all the deers be running through my subdivision. Come on, somebody right now. I'm just popping them on a golf cart. My point is that I always thought that Esau just didn't have patience. But to be a good hunter, you got to have a lot of patience. What he really had was that thing that his parents called him, "You're fleshy, you're hairy." And then nobody taught him to have the necessary regard for the value of what he had. So he had the patience. It wasn't that, because he's a good hunter. You can't be a good hunter and not have patience. But he was so fleshy. The Bible says that he was, at best, he was neutral towards God and the things of God. But several translations, if you read it and study out, say that he was actually worldly or fleshy. You got to watch out with your flesh. Because your flesh, when it gets out of control, will start driving every argument, every decision. And you got to value and say, "I love my flesh, I'll take care of my flesh." But the fact is, remember this, Paul said, "The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do." Remember this? Because he was trying to show us the separation between our flesh and our spirit. Now, here's the good news. Esau had no regard for God, but Jacob still was a deceiver, and he still had bad thinking and a lot of bad motives, but God loved him because his heart was toward God. Here's what I know about you. You're at church today. Even if you came because, you know, somebody's dedicated a baby and you just came, that shows you got a good heart because you cared what those people thought. And so you came, even if you don't believe in God, you came today and you're like, "Oh, so I already know that you got a good heart." Here's the great news. God sees your heart. Have you ever been with some people and they didn't like you, or there was an argument going on and you're like, "Man, but my heart's right. My head's wrong, but my heart's right." Raise your hand. If you got a good heart, you just got a dirty head. Raise your hand. I want to pop you right now. I want to make fleshy. It's the way we are. But he was never taught to value with integrity what he had. So my goal for you today, before you leave today, is start saying, "Hey, I'm going to value what I have." And I'm also going to think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when it should have read Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. I know so many pastors that built great churches and they're not there anymore. And they've died 1,000 deaths and they're some of the great preachers, way better than me. It wouldn't take a lot to do that. But just great communicators, and they're not there. based on one bad day. But let me back up and say it doesn't happen with one bad day. It happens back here at that line we drew. And now you're like, well, I ain't doing anything. Nobody knows. Lust is the seed that grows. I'm not a big preacher of don't. But I do want to say that it helps if you keep yourself full. Because if he would have had, if Esau would have drove through Chick-fil-A before he got home. Come on, go with me on this right now. You understand? Drive through Burger King, get a Whopper. Get a Whopper Jr. I don't care. Just take the edge off. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about now. But if you ever get hungry, my father-in-law is here today, and he cannot be responsible for his behavior when he gets hungry. He's one of those people, I'm telling you, I love the heck out of him, but there's something about him. He's going to eat it this time, and it's going to be that way. We were out to eat with him one time, and some lady, he was starving, and the lady was telling us all about the special, and he said, cut the chit-chat, lady. I want to order. It's like 15 years ago, and I'm still going, cut the chit-chat. I came home last night, Nicole was making food. He was getting aggravated. He was ready to eat. And I said, Nicole, cut the chit-chat and get the man some food. So here's my point to you today. You got to know you. And you got to know when I get here, doesn't matter what it looks like. I've seen people do some really stupid stuff with some ugly people. Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? You're like, that? When you had that? Some of you, it's too wild for you. I know you're going to go to a different church. This is a church for non-pretenders. This is a non-genetically modified sermon. This is what we chose to preach on Pentecost Sunday. Because the Holy Ghost done told me that you're about to jack up your life and live in regret if you don't say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I was glad when they said it to me, let us go into the house of the Lord today. I don't like my wife anymore. You better learn to like her. I got 3 minutes and 14 seconds to finish this sermon. Pray with me because the likelihood of that happening. Be careful what you do when you're hungry. You got to be careful. I heard my wife say on the front row, I just heard, not so much hunger, thirsty. Oh, yeah. Come on, girls, you know I act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Why is the nursery so full today? Why are we dedicating 900 kids if you ain't been thirsty? If you don't know what that means, if you're older, just Google it. But you got to control your flesh or your flesh will control you. So here's a couple things I want you to write down. Never make decisions when you're exhausted. And then the underscore should be physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, spiritually exhausted. I ain't got time to go to church. I'm trying to make my money. Better have my money. Money. Y'all know all these things. I like it today. We got a bunch of heathens at church today. Come on. So. Yeah. Y'all here today. So we chase the thing, and I'm for you having money. In this room right now, there's some people got a lot of money. I know one here today is worth $1 billion with a B. But that'll never make you happy. Now, would it be good if you were spiritually fulfilled and you loved the Lord and you had $1 billion? Raise your hand if you're looking for that man. I don't know. You know, the most wealthy person in the world is not necessarily the person that has all the money. They have what I call total prosperity. That means the whole pie, your marriage is good, your kids are good, your money's good, and your health is good. And if any of those are gone and you got a lot of money and you ain't got no health, you can't write a check to fix it. You a dead man. And if you're unsatisfied and the devil is trying to get you to make dumb decisions like Esau did, and now you don't have the capacity to enjoy your blessings and benefits. There'll be a day you'd be glad you got to go to church. There at the Ferguson campus right now, you're sitting there in that building. And I remember the first time I went in that building, There was a casket on the front row in the funeral homes up there because there's so many shootings and gang violence in St. Louis that the funeral homes got so packed that they actually leased from the church the sanctuary, and they would put little dead kids in there every day. I walked up past the casket there as you're watching me on those screens at the center and the right side. I walked up to the front. There were pews in there, and I walked, and there was an open casket, and I said, "How old is that girl?" And I believe they said she's 14. And I said, "What happened to her?" They said, "A drug overdose." And then the guy began to explain to me how that all these kids up in Ferguson, Florissant area in North St. Louis, that they actually drive around and look at the funeral homes at what cars they would want to be in. They got big Hummers. They got big stretched up, jacked up Lincoln. They got all kinds of really cool cars. They're lit up. Because the kids know, I'm going to get shot out here or I'm going to OD and I want to be in that car. Do you realize how messed up that is? I looked at the funeral home director and I said, "You've got to be kidding me." He said, "No." He started showing me the different cool cars that you could be in. And as I was looking at her and looking at him, I asked him, "What do you think the problem is?" He said, "I don't know, but I don't think the church is the answer." He knew that I would say that. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The church isn't answering real life questions. They're telling us about biblical history. And it's boring as hell." He said, "If there was ever a church that you could feel God and you could hear something that you could use on Monday, I believe it would make a difference." And I said, "I'm gonna buy this church right here, right now. And there's a bunch of dream teamers that are gonna, come on somebody, come in and clean it up. And there's a bunch of people gonna pay for it. And guess what? Never again was there another funeral right there in that building. Now there's only resurrections that happen on Sunday morning." Give God praise today for building churches and leading your kids in the right direction. Oh, that's what you're doing with your life. You're leaving a legacy. You're making a difference. I'm 1 minute and 34 seconds over my timeline if you're taking medicine. I got a statement I want to put up that I wrote down for you, and I want you to take a picture of it and maybe make it your screensaver for a while. No, it's not a picture of me. It says, "The dumbest decisions we ever make are the ones we do on an impulse." The car you bought because you went to the dealership and they gave you a free hot dog and you're like, "I'm going to rip them off. I'm taking all my kids to get a free hot dog." And then when the guy said, "What would it take to make you buy it today?" You said, "I don't know that I want to buy it today." And he says, because he's been trained, "Of course you don't know if you want to buy it today. I have not given you enough information to make that kind of decision. I can see that you're a smart person. You would not possibly make a decision right now. Come back to my office. Let's look at it on paper and see how it makes sense." Yeah. Okay. Come on, go with me right now. And then he brings it up, cleans it up, and you get in it and you smell it and you go, "That new car smell." By the way, if you go to the car wash, don't get the new car smell. It's a ripoff. Get pina colada or something. It doesn't smell like the new car. Then you were talked into by a trained professional to sign up. It's only $100 more a month. It's only this. And you walk away and you tell the kids, "We're never eating in this car." Anybody ever done that? 3 months later, there's a chicken nugget under every, I promise you, under every car. There's French fries and chicken nuggets out there. If I could take a tour with the cameras right now, I promise you, we would find that in your car that you were never going to eat on again. So what I'm saying is not to say that salesmen are the devil, but some of them are. And the devil's life is designed to talk you into doing something that you're gonna regret. Man, dang it. Why did I do that? And the degree in which a person grows, I saw this statement. The degree to which a person can grow is directly proportionally to the amount of truth they can accept about themselves without running away. What? Somebody tells you something like this. Maybe it's your first time in church in a long time. "Ah, he just wants me to come back on Sunday." I'm not on commission. If you must look around, I'm not even in the building that you're in right now. I don't get like a bonus if there's more people in the seats. I get my fulfillment out of knowing I was a sinner that God saved by grace. I'm a person who said, I'm going to use my words and whatever my swag is, whatever my style is, and I bet there's somebody somewhere that needs to hear what I got to say. And so every Sunday, in fact, tomorrow morning, I will meet with a group of people and talk about what's going to happen Tuesday night, which, by the way, is quite incredible. And then I'll talk about what's going to happen next Sunday. My whole life, it revolves around you. My whole life revolves around getting you to where God wants you to be, because you are not that mistake that you made. God's got greater plans for you. And the quicker, come on, somebody ought to agree with this right now. The quicker you accept that, the better your life will be. Okay, last scripture, Proverbs 11:14. I promise you I'll let you go. It says, where there is no counsel, let's all read it together. The Bible says, where... So good. I like the way that felt. Let's read it again. Ready? Read. It's a scary thing when you counsel yourself. In fact, if you ever get in trouble, you get arrested. The first thing they ask you is if you have legal representation. And if you don't have somebody, the court will appoint somebody to be your counsel. And some dingbats who never passed the bar, only watched Law and Order a couple of times, decides, I'm going to be my own counsel. That's a mistake. Because you agree with you. And you see through a glass darkly. And there is no peripheral vision, only this is what happened, this is the way I think, this is the way I was raised, this is why I do it. And you need people. That's why I want you to get in groups. There's jogging groups. I saw them yesterday from our church, about 12 people just jogging, running. They're doing life together. They're running together, walking by faith together. I see people do, you know, scrapbook parties together, motorcycle stuff, whatever. You just got to be around some people that get to know you. And once they get to know you, they can not only K-N-O-W, but they can capital N-O-U. Because once they get to know you, they go, Shaquita, you're doing it again. Bob ain't that bad. In fact, I tell you right now, I'd love to have a man like Bob. All right, you can have it. You're making a mistake right now. Because if Bob runs off with her, you ain't going to be on a triple date with Bob. You're cursing the thing that God gave you that somebody else would want. I know he's hairy. We just read about that. I know he's fleshy. We just read about that. I understand that about her, that she does this and she does that. Can't she put up the, can't she put down the toilet lid? And you look at her side of the sink, it looks like a bomb went off. But that's the way girls are. That's why they're so pretty. Today, Nicole's getting ready. It took her an hour and a half longer than me. And I said, you know, you're so beautiful. It's just unbelievable. But it's amazing how much, I just got out of the shower, threw gel in my hair, and I was done, son. Come on, girls, wave at me right now. It's, look at your neighbor and say, it takes a while to look like this. So when we understand our differences, we get in a group with wise counsel. Because just you with the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Just you and the Holy Spirit might not be so good, because if I know you, and I know me, you can shut him up, but I'm hungry now. I'm thirsty now. And then you just live your life in the flesh. And you want to live your life in the Spirit. Was that all right for today? Come on, give the Lord a great big hand. Come on, weld in RPC, everybody. Come on, you can do better than that. The Lord's good. His word is good. Come on, stand up with me one more time. Nobody leaving just yet. A couple of things we like to do here at the church. It only takes about an hour or so through our services. And I always think it's rude to the people around you, and it's rude to the Holy Spirit when you go, oh, I got what I wanted, I'm out. Because there's still ministry that's gonna happen. In fact, I wanna pray for you right now, every head bowed and every eye closed. The Holy Spirit, even if I'm not in the room or I'm not in your house, he's moving in and out every row and up and down every aisle. And I want you in boldness to raise your hand if you say, Pastor David, I needed that word today. Come on, raise it high. I wanna see it everywhere, everywhere. Okay, you can put it down. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the power of the Holy Spirit, God, will break them free from this life of regret and shame and the devil had a holster, he'd probably only have two guns in it. It would be regret and shame. Regret's something that we did wrong and we move past it. Shame is we say, that's just who I am. I'm always going to be addicted. I'm always going to be bound. I'm never going to get better. And then we become bitter. God, you said that there's a root of bitterness that can get in our heart. And the scary thing about a root is I got trees in my house and in my property, and I don't even see the root. I just see the fruit. So the root is something that we don't see, and we don't know that we have a root of bitterness. God, as an act of our own will today, we forgive everyone that's done us wrong. They cheated, they lied, they manipulated, they hurt us. We forgive them. And God, not only do we forgive them, we forgive ourselves. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, let's sing this.